Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Hello, and welcome to Grappling with Ray. It's me, Ray, and today we're going to be covering the New England Report. We give you all the latest updates in the independent wrestling that's taking over New England. We're going to be covering a little bit of MMA because we had that UFC pay-per-view this past Saturday. We got some big news both in pro wrestling and in MMA that I want to give my reactions to. And of course, we're going to be covering the biggest event that happened this weekend. Sunday night, we had AEW Revolution. All that and more. So get ready, guys. Okay, so we're going to try doing this in order. First up, we got February 12th, APW, Atlantic Pro Wrestling, held their show. So, Nightbreed have been stripped of their tag team titles due to inactivity by way of injury, and there is now set a tag team tournament set to crown new champs. And participating in this tournament, we have confirmed Ryan Waters, that's H2O Ryan Waters. He's got a new tag team partner in Matt Magnum. Those guys took out Stiff Mike and Chris Loggins. So together, they are OP and they are staking their claim in this tournament. But they're going to have to get through other teams that are confirmed, such as Slaughterhouse and Waves and Curls. Maybe we'll see Nightbreed healthy in time to participate. I do believe Sepharan is healthy. Gallo, however, is still injured at the time of this recording. And something I would like to see, though, is I know this hasn't happened in APW, but it's happened in other companies in New England. I'd like to see the Syndicate. Like, Owen Brody has a history of the company. He's a former New England champion. We've had B.A. Tatum make a couple of appearances here and there. So I want to see that happen. I want to see the Syndicate in the tournament to crown the new tag team champions. Meanwhile, the women's division is also continuing to expand. Vanity Vixen is confirmed to be returning at the promotion's March 19th show. In the meantime, we've gone to see Paris Vandale and Shannon LaVange in competition at this most recent show. Shannon got the victory, and now we can only wait to see what these young competitors can do to match up to Vixen, Little Mean Kathleen, and Widow Belmont. Meanwhile, APW heavyweight champion Ilya Markopoulos has quite the tour coming his way. First on March 19th, he is set to defend his title against Brian Malonis. This was the match that was supposed to happen last year, but for unknown reasons fell apart. Now Brian is coming back and is looking to add 10 more pounds to his muscular frame. Should Ilya defeat Brian, he'll have another major talent to contend with. Set for April 16th, we have Dirty Dango, set to challenge either Ilya or Brian for the APW heavyweight title. All of this with George Joel, Tyler Nitro, and this powerhouse known as Congo that Eddie Hunt has brought into the picture. The heavyweight division is pure fire, so if you want tickets to see these shows in Newburyport, Mass., visit the Atlantic Pro Wrestling Facebook page for more information on how to get tickets. Now I'm going to jump ahead a couple weeks. February 23rd, AEW returned to New England, and this time they have hosted their first ever show in the state of Connecticut. That's right, right in Vinnie Mac's backyard. To start the show, we got to see some New England favorites with Jorah Joel taking on Jay Lethal, and the trio of Little Mean Kathleen, Kayla Sparks, and Paris Vandale facing Nyla Rose, Emi Sakura, and Diamante. We also got to see Willow Nightingale face Layla Hirsch in a match that I'm glad was taped. Given the gravitas of current events, I can't imagine the audience being very welcoming of a woman billed from Moscow, Russia. While all these young competitors got to enjoy some exposure, given the nature of the business, none of them really had a chance of getting over on the more established signed talent. That said, Jorah Joel at least has some wins on his record and a storyline with a restyling with a veteran in Matt Hardy. So maybe there's some hope for him to get an exclusive contract soon. After the audience got to witness the Dark Elevation taping, they witnessed another chapter in the story of CM Punk versus MJF. With tears in his eyes, Max gave one of the most heartfelt promos of his career. Given his track record, it's difficult to accept everything he says at face value, but at the very least, you have to believe this promo was true to the person behind the character. And for that, Maxwell Jacob Freeman has to be admired. Even if I'm going to want to call him an asshole only seconds later. Even CM Punk had to ask MJF if he was being honest. And the fact that MJF can only walk away with storytelling at its finest. And of course, we all know what happened next week when MJF kicked Punk in the balls and after, yeah, and saying he was a snake and that Punk was a fool, but that didn't happen in New England, so whatever. One moment that had the crowd on their feet was the debut of Buddy Matthews, formerly WWE's Buddy Murphy. Despite the history of violent matches, or maybe because of them, Buddy has aligned himself with the House of Black. Malakai seems to not have as much control over the best-kept secret as he does with Brody King. With these power dynamics being so wild between absolutely powerful wrestlers, there's sure to be a bright future for these men, even if the title pictures are looking packed all around. Speaking of titles, Connecticut got to see two title matches. First on Dynamite, Jade Cargill defended her title against the Bunny of AHFO. After coming out on top and successfully blocking a brass knuckle shot with her own title belt, Jade teased a Goldberg run by first asking, "Who's next?" then followed up with, "Who's left?" Ty Conti would answer the call. While Ty took out the Bunny, Jade struck and left Ty lying, with Anna Jay coming to her best friend's aid. Meanwhile, on Rampage, Sammy Guevara defended his TNT title against Andrade El Idolo. This only 2 weeks after having his cornea scratched in a title defense against Darby Allin. In what was to be the best performance of Andrade since joining AEW, Sammy managed to retain. This contest comes with some questionable decisions from Big Money Matt at ringside, who potentially cost Andrade the title. Before we could even begin to dig into the conflict brewing between business partners, Darby Allin and Sting came to the rescue of Sammy. It would appear instead of defending his title at Revolution, Sammy is set to team with Sting and Darby against the AHFO. Ever action worth noting, Ricky Starks defeated 10, and Orange Cassidy defeated Anthony Bowens to qualify for the face of a Revolution ladder match. Joining Wardlow, Keith Lee, Powerhouse Hobbs, and more, these young men may seem like underdogs, but the crowd and the support of their respective stables, they could walk away with a brass ring and a future world title shot. The women's division is heating up with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker DMD putting a stamp on their title match with a contract signing and some heated words. Mercedes Martinez appeared, who is never far from the title picture, and she made her presence felt when she took Jamie Hayter down. Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho had a verbal confrontation of her own, with Chris taking many verbal low blows, stating Eddie can never win when it counts because his family's history of failure is bound to follow him. And after the Connecticut crowd witnessed a pure wrestling clinic between Brian Danielson and Daniel Garcia, they got the confirmation they had been waiting for. Brian told Jon Moxley that they would fight a Revolution, with the potential still there for them to unite and teach the young grappling prodigies of AEW. Alright, so that all happened Wednesday, February 23rd. Now we're going to talk about what didn't happen on Friday, February 25th. Unfortunately, Pro Wrestling Grind and Chaotic Wrestling both had to cancel their shows over the last weekend of February due to severe winter weather. Pro Wrestling Grind's next show, Price of a Mile, is set for March 18th. Meanwhile, Chaotic is moving it there as we should event 1 month ahead and maintaining the two as yet to be announced dates at the time of this recording for March, meaning they will be hosting three separate events throughout the month of March. The future of New England wrestling is pretty fun, despite a lot of talent getting ready to take WrestleMania week bookings down south. Coming Saturday, March 12th, is both Vacation Land Wrestling's Twin City Madness in Brewer, Maine, and APW hosts their monthly show in Newburyport, Massachusetts. Vacation Land's looking to crown their first ever women's champion when Jesse Nolan faces Daje Simone. Meanwhile, APW will be showcasing some of the future stars of New England as they test young rookies against grizzled veterans with matches like Sarah Jade versus Vanity Vixen, Cassius Hall versus Vern Vicalo, and Randy Rivera defending the New England title against Scott Reed. The next day, Sunday, March 14th, sees Beyond Wrestling host Monkey Business, with a match card packed with talent, such as AEW's Ortiz, Ring of Honor interim champion Jonathan Gresham, Biff Music, Wheeler Utah, and more. That show will be taking place in Somerville, Massachusetts. Friday, March 18th will be Grind's return show, Price of a Mile, in East Hampton, Massachusetts, with Let's Wrestle hosting Volume 16 featuring their new heavyweight champion Mac Daniels and Herman Maine the following day. This weekend is capped off with WWR Plus, that's Women's Wrestling Revolution Plus, hosting the littlest and the meanest of times at Worcester, Mass. Given the name, I think it's safe to say former APW Women's Champion Little Mean Kathleen will be attending despite the scary spot she took at Galentine's Day Massacre. But you also have a strong match to look forward to on their card as Willow Nightingale looks to regain momentum after her failed bid for the IWTV World Title. On March 20th, it will be Willow versus Jody Fret. In the final weekend of March, we'll see Limitless Wrestling host The Thrill of It, with the major main company already confirming appearances from Impact Wrestling's Jonah and Speedball Mike Bailey. We are also anxiously waiting to see who is next to step up to Alec Price after the prize retained his heavyweight title against Ace Romero in a no disqualifications match as recently as the 26th. As it stands, his next number one contender is to be determined in a triple threat match between Anthony Green, Rip Bison, and J.D. Drake. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick moment to get a word in from our sponsor, and I'm going to be coming back with the MMA report. All right, so now we're going to be looking back at the UFC as they held their monthly pay-per-view over this past weekend. The biggest story coming out of the show was Colby Covington defeating bitter rival Jorge Masvidal in a long, drawn-out 25-minute fight. With this chapter closing for both men, one has to wonder, what is next? Jorge is still valuable to the UFC for his trash-talking abilities, but given the man's friendships and business relations to AEW, it's possible he may take a break and try his stock elsewhere. Then again, he did just sign a lucrative contract with the UFC, so perhaps he would take on another welterweight. Maybe the rising prospect Khamzat Chimaev. I know that matchup doesn't sound too good for Jorge, considering he just got absolutely drubbed by a wrestler, and Khamzat is an amazing wrestler. I honestly prefer Khamzat Chimaev versus Colby Covington. Speaking of which, Colby as the winner of the fight, he basically is stalled because the winner of this fight could have easily been like the number one contender to the welterweight title, if not for the fact that both of these men have lost to Kamaru Usman twice now. So what's left for Colby? Colby's still the number one contender, except no one wants to see him fight Usman a third time, especially when there was clearly, at least in my opinion, like Usman won handily. Yes, it went to a decision, but Usman still won. So at this point, Colby may just be doomed to be the second best man in the welterweight division while he waits for Usman to lose the title or for the champ to take on all ever credible challengers and begin to rinse and repeat. Honestly, I said that I wanted him to face Israel Adesanya, but Dana White said no. Bless you back there. And now Colby wants to go down a weight class, or maybe he wants him to go up a weight class. They don't really hash out the specifics when they're in the cage. But he wants to fight Dustin Poirier. He wants to fight Dustin, who's coming off a loss against lightweight champion Oliveira. So, I mean, hey, if it makes money, why not? But I honestly don't think that's good for Dustin. I think Dustin could easily just fight someone else in the lightweight division and then earn another title shot because, I mean, come on, why not? Let's get this out there, man. Dustin Poirier is the man who basically shut Conor McGregor up, if only for a little bit of time. I know he didn't really shut him up because that man never shuts up, but hey, I mean, he beat Conor twice, so I don't want to see a fourth fight between those guys. It doesn't need to happen. You've already got the trilogy out of the way. It's over. Elsewhere on the card, let's see here. The rest of the main card was honestly underwhelming. The co-main event, Rafael Dos Anjos, he picked up a victory over last-minute substitute Rafael Vaziv, who had fought only 3 weeks ago. The infamous Greg Hardy would lose to Spivak in mere minutes, seemingly putting the Greg Hardy experiment to bed in emphatic fashion, thank God. We'd also see Kevin Holland defeat Alex Oliveira, despite his hubris almost getting the better of him, and Bryce Mitchell would defeat Edson Barboza after going a full 15 minutes with the veteran. As I said, we didn't have a lot of news coming out of that, so I'm just going to go straight to the big news of this past week and beyond, because there's so much that happened. Sticking with MMA for a short minute, we have officially announced the inductee into the UFC 2022 Hall of Fame class, and that is Khabib Nurmagomedov, the man who is 28-0, retired as UFC lightweight champion. He's defeated Conor McGregor. He never got to fight Tony Ferguson, even though they tried setting that match up like 5 times. But I digress. Is Khabib a good man? There's a lot to be said there. Is he a good athlete, though? Yes, undoubtedly, this man, as a professional fighter, this man deserves his spot in the Hall of Fame. So I'm excited, and honestly, I've warmed up to him a bit for his post-fighting career, mostly because he's gone to like he's shown that he still has love for the sport and that he has love for his family. He's helping to train his cousins for fighting in the cage. He's also running his own fight promotion. That's how passionate he is about mixed martial arts. So I am pretty excited to see him get his due to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Are there ever UFC fighters that I think should have been inducted before him? I don't know. There's certainly many men and women deserving of being in the UFC Hall of Fame, and Khabib is one of them. So I think, let it be said, I don't know, maybe the UFC needs to induct more than one or two people at a time. I think, how do they do it? I think it's usually one fighter, one match, and one person that's outside the UFC, the cage, but still works with the UFC. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, it has been confirmed that not only is The Undertaker going into the Hall of Fame, it has been confirmed that Vince McMahon is going to be the one to induct him. And it's been like a nice 30-year career between these two men of working together. And The Undertaker's honestly said that he wants to, he's happy to have Vince McMahon be the one to induct him. So I think that's cool. Now, other things Vince McMahon said during this Pat McAfee interview, you can check it out, The Pat McAfee Show. That is also a show that's on Anchor. Shout out to my sponsor. But apparently, there was one comment that Vince said that I just did not like. He said that when it, like, because Pat McAfee asked him about the releases, and Vince had said that sometimes, in order to make room for more opportunities, you have to cut the dead weight. I'm sorry, what? You're calling, this is other big news, WWE 2K22 comes out the day that this podcast airs for the first time, and predictably, over, I want to say at least half of this game's roster is talent that's no longer with the company. You're releasing high number of talent, record numbers, honestly, like you used to stockpile all this talent. You're literally paying Mustafa Ali to stay at home. But yet you want to talk about, oh, well, we cut some dead weight. Yeah, all these people are making it big with other companies, or they're even making their own companies, such as EC3 and Braun Strowman, who now have a whole TV deal in place to be airing their own promotion called Control Your Narrative. But what is this? This next bit of news is a bit old, but I wanted to be able to say my piece on it. Cody and Brandi Rhodes have left AEW. Now, there's been a lot of speculation on this. Let me go over this. What I'm about to say is none of it's confirmed as fact. But the only facts I know are that they are no longer working with AEW. The speculation is that Cody's mad because he lost his booking power. As I've understood from the speculation, all the EVPs have lost their booking power, which, I mean, fair. I could honestly see how there was concerns that they might have been repeating history, that the Elite may have been doing what the NWO did, only booking their inner circle, so I can understandably see why TK would be concerned. TK is a man who learns from history, and now they're saying that Cody could be going to WWE. Brandi, I don't know. I don't know if Brandi would go to WWE. I feel Brandi is a smart enough woman that I feel like she could easily make a career doing anything. She can continue her talk show on YouTube. She's had a fashion line at one point. She could go back to any of her multiple career aspects that she's had in the past. Whether or not she wants to stay in wrestling, that's another story. I don't know if WWE would even want her to wrestle because they utilized her in a ring announcing aspect for so long, but it's up in the air, and I've spoken with a lot of my friends. I've spoken with other members of the internet wrestling community, and they all seem to share a sentiment that they would lose respect for Cody if he went to WWE. And I don't get it. Like, yes, I understand. He went out on AEW. He made so many passionate promos about how they were better than the WWE, about how no one believed that they could do this, that they could be a competitor to WWE. And you know what? He probably meant it. He probably genuinely meant everything he said. But guys, this is a business. If you're telling me this man's going to be happier going to the WWE, that he's going to be getting more money working for the WWE, at some point, yes, he got to have that creative freedom. He got to be his own man for Ring of Honor, for New Japan, for All Elite Wrestling. He got to be his own man. But at the end of the day, the dude's got a kid now. The dude's got to be thinking about money. And that's what it comes down to. So if there is truth to him not being upset about losing his booking power, well, he's not going to get that in WWE. So that's why I don't know how much that really weighed in on his decision to leave. Yes, maybe it hurt his feelings, but in the end, as a businessman, I don't think that would be been a decision maker for him. But as far as money goes, he's a family man, and something him and Dustin were both affected by was their father's roles in their lives. Whether he was an absent father, whether he was a father that was there for them, they both had very different experiences with Dusty. But Cody knows what it means to be a father and how important a father's role in a child's life. So, I mean, if he can work out a deal with WWE where it's almost, it sounds crazy to say, but I feel like he could make it, that he's proven himself enough that it's possible the WWE would be willing to give him not a Goldberg deal, but also not like a regular deal where he's working all these dates. I feel like it'd be nice to give him a part-time deal, but he could still make a lot of money. Maybe give him a Legends deal where he could keep it like a Twitch if he... He appeared on the AEW Games Twitch, like, playing Halo here and there, so he could do that if he wanted. Be like Johnny Gargano, get your Twitch going. Neela, all that is to say, I'm intrigued. I'm excited to see him, whether he's in WWE or AEW. A lot of people booed him when he was in Boston, the show that I went to this past October. But I was happy. Cody Rhodes... growing up, Cody was one of my favorites. The Miz is still my number one, but Cody was definitely up there. Cody was in my top five, probably still is in my top five, if I was to sit down and look at it. And I just, he was for me, he is to me what his father was for the generation that came before me. And I genuinely mean that. So wherever Cody goes, I hope he's happy. I hope his family's taken care of. And I'm excited to see him work again. That's what I selfishly want. I want Cody to work, and I want to see him work. Whatever news do I need to cover here? Oh, a bit of independent news, and this is global. Ava, you may know from Limitless, from Pro Wrestling Grind, from Chaotic, from Beyond, and WWR, from New England, she's on a tour in Germany. I didn't think much of this when she said she was going on a tour to Germany. She is working for WXW, Germany. She's working for a German wrestling promotion, the German wrestling promotion. And she's won their women's championship. Big congratulations to Ava. I loved seeing her at Limitless. She gave me quite a memory when she was cowering behind mine and another man's legs at the Limitless show in January. Again, you guys gotta see those shows. You just gotta go to Facebook, get some tickets, try to get front row, but the past couple shows, they've sold out front row within minutes. But you gotta see this. Whenever she comes back to America, she's either going to come back a WXW Women's Champion, or she's going to come back a former WXW Women's Champion. But either way, she's coming back with one more accolade than when she left. And that's something to be proud of. This is a title that's been held by amazing women, both foreign and here. I want to say Killer Kelly's held the women's title. And if you guys don't know who Killer Kelly is, that's a crime. She's an absolutely fantastic women's wrestler. She could easily be a shoot fighter, I swear to God. But Ava is now up in those accolades, in those hallowed halls of WXW Women's Champions, and I'm excited to see her come back and see what she learned from being in Germany. One final bit of news before I get into AEW Revolution. Tony Khan on the Dynamite last week announced that he has bought Ring of Honor. He's officially purchased Ring of Honor, and this is big. Right now, to my knowledge, I don't believe he's got any confirmed talent contracts because Ring of Honor released all their talent. They laid them off. But TK, I want to know. I'm so concerned. I'm concerned and excited. I'm excited because this is amazing. Like, TK's proving, despite TK coming across as a bit crude and arrogant at times, he does have a good mind for the business. I'll give him that. And he's doing amazing things with AEW, so I want to see what he could do with Ring of Honor. But now I'm hearing that, and I'm going to start talking fast because I'm getting really excited. But he's saying that he wants to turn Ring of Honor into their NXT. He wants it to become developmental, so I feel like that almost degrades the talent that used to be in Ring of Honor. I want to know if we're still going to have a pure division. I want to know if we're going to have six-man tag team titles. I would love to have six-man tag titles because AEW has keeps records of trios. I don't know why, because they barely have any trios. They got the House of Black now, and they have Death Triangle. They got the Elite. They could have any number of Dark Order in trios. Why? You have trios. Send some of them down. Let ROH borrow them for a six-man tag champions. I just want to see this happen. And I'm also curious what that means for Impact Wrestling, because Impact and AEW ceased working together. But now AEW owns Ring of Honor, and Impact's been working with Ring of Honor, supposedly, to keep storylines and titles on display. Because Jonathan Gresham's been defending the title. Deonna Purrazzo's been defending the title after she beat Roxy for it. It's crazy, and there's just so many permutations that could ripple out from this one major buyout, and I could speculate all day about this, but speculation's only gonna get you so far. I'm excited to see what TK has in store for the future. I'm going to take a quick break real quick, maybe get a message out there, or just play some transition music, but I'm going to be checking out the AEW Revolution pay-per-view, and I'm going to come back with results, and we're going to talk about what we are looking the most forward to. The following is an unsponsored message for those in need. Ukraine's children are in grave danger of physical harm, severe emotional distress, and mass displacement. Save the Children is concerned for children caught in the middle of armed conflict, forced from their homes in freezing temperatures, and exposed to injury, hunger, and cold. Your donation to Save the Children's Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund can help provide children and families with immediate aid, such as food, water, hygiene kits, psychosocial support, and cash assistance. Together, we can protect children in crisis. Just visit support.savethechildren.org. That's support.savethechildren.org and search for the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your programming. And we're back. All right, guys. So the buy-in for this show was great. By that, I mean, if there wasn't 30 to 45 minutes of nothing but recaps, we actually got three full matches for this show. We got to see legit Layla Hirsch defeat Chris Statlander. I was honestly surprised by that booking, just given current events. But legit Layla Hirsch defeated Chris Statlander thanks to the help of a turnbuckle. And not only that, but Red Velvet kind of ran out to make the save afterwards. We had Hook defeat QT Marshall. I thought that was going to be a squash, but Hook actually defeated QT Marshall after a bit of back and forth because QT is a cheater. So and he's also a veteran, so, you know, there's those tactics and whatnot. We got to see a really awesome six-man tag between the House of Black against Pac, Penta Oscuro, and Eric Redbeard. I still don't know if Eric Redbeard is considered elite yet. But otherwise, House of Black pulled off the victory with Brody King pinning Eric Redbeard. Then we got to start the show off hot with Eddie Kingston versus Chris Jericho. Eddie Kingston pulling off the victory. The big storyline of this was that Chris Jericho said he was going to shake Eddie's hand and tell him that he respects him if he could defeat him. Well, after this match was over, Eddie went up to Chris. He held his hand out, and Chris shook his head and said, "I can't do it," and walked away. So now you kind of got to wonder, okay, well, what's the future now? And I watched that match with my father, and I told my dad, I'm like, well, that right there is the end of the Inner Circle. It's got to be. Sammy's already off doing his own thing. I don't know what's happening with Jake Hager. And Santana and Ortiz, they're probably going to start going after the tag titles. Speaking of the tag titles, Jurassic Express successfully defended their AEW World Tag Team Championships against two tag teams in a triple threat match in the Young Bucks and Red Dragon. Storyline here being that Red Dragon and the Young Bucks were working Jurassic Express, almost handicap match style, but then things started to break down, obviously, when they both wanted to win. It's a story as old as time, ever since the first ever triple threat match started, and it still works to this day, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But Jurassic Express was able to capitalize on these two teams fighting one another, so now they have successfully pulled off the victory. The Face of the Revolution ladder match. Now, this was fun. We got to see three different Hosses in this. Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Keith Lee. By the way, love Keith Lee's theme song. It gets me so hype. But we also got to see Team Taz's absolute Ricky Starks. We got to see Christian Cage. And we got to see Orange Cassidy. And I believe Orange Cassidy is the only member of these six to have been in a Face of a Revolution ladder match prior to this. I do love that Orange Cassidy's character is slowly evolving. He's cutting promos now. I don't want to say he's actively trying because he's still lackadaisical in a way, but he's putting more effort in than we're used to seeing from him. Christian is just a ladder match expert. He's destined to always be in these matches and just never win. Sorry, my cat's staring daggers at me right now. Anyway, they got, gosh, the things I let on this mic. I'm not going to cut that either. So they, then we also got to see an appearance by Danhausen. He wasn't in the match, but he cursed absolute Ricky Starks. And well, that was it for Ricky. Shortly after that, I honestly thought Ricky got his fucking neck broken by Wardlow. Wardlow powerbombed him onto a ladder that was set up between another ladder and the ring rope. And just the way Ricky landed and stayed in a fetal position, I thought he broke his neck again. I was so scared. But Wardlow would end up taking the victory after quite a few nice spots where he would throw Keith Lee and Powerhouse Hobbs off the stage and through a table. He would toss Orange Cassidy completely out of the ring. Most of these big spots were from Wardlow, so it makes sense. They told a good story for the match. And there's some more storytelling involving Wardlow, but we'll get to that. We got to see, shortly after the Face of a Revolution ladder match, they have it like an annual thing now, where every Revolution pay-per-view, they just have to announce a new signing. And for Revolution, they announced that Shane Swerve Strickland, formerly known as Isaiah Swerve Scott from WWE, has signed with AEW, so I'm interested to see where that goes. Who was it they announced at the last year's pay-per-view? It wasn't Jay Lethal, I think. It might have been, though, but either way. Following that, we got to see Jade Cargill defeat Ty Conti to retain the TBS title, and I want to say I absolutely love the athleticism that these women showed. They were great together. I've seen reports where people say, oh, well, if this was Dynamite or Rampage, they would have been match of the night. But because it was a pay-per-view, they were hard-pressed. And I'll agree with that. They still did absolutely terrific, but it was hard. Just to, like, when comparing them to other matches, if you look at them by themselves, they did great. I also feel pretty bad that they sort of are getting overlooked. Their athleticism and their talent were getting overlooked by, first, Jade Cargill's amazing cosplay, like coming out as Mortal Kombat's Jade. I absolutely love that. I still think Zelina Vega is the best Jade as far as cosplaying goes, but Jade Cargill pulls it off really well. And the other thing that got Twitter blowing up was, I'm going to quote Eric Bischoff here, the hot lesbian action in the very beginning of the match where Jade plants a kiss right on Ty Conti. And I, like, that, those are some mind games. Those are some good mind games there, because she kind of, like, or at least they would have been if Ty really got thrown off, but Ty bitch-smacked Jade Cargill right in the face immediately after, and it was off to the races. But that was all Twitter was talking about, I swear. After that match was over, that's all I heard. We're not going to talk about how Jade is, like, 27-0 now, and she's never lost a match in her entire career. We're not going to talk about how Paige Van Zandt seemed to be eyeing up that TBS title. Could we be seeing Jade Cargill versus Paige Van Zandt? Because I'd pay to see that. I'd love that. This match got followed by the dog collar match, where we got to see MJF and CM Punk get nice and bloody. I say nice and bloody. Apparently, a lot of the internet wrestling community has been saying that there's now too much blood. What are we? Like, seriously. Well, you can't win. There's too much blood. There's not enough blood. Guys, what are we going to decide on? You know what? I'm sticking my ground. Blood is blood. You won't find me intentionally cutting myself for any reason. Whether it's for wrestling, to get some color, or, you just won't find it. I'm one of the people who's very happy to say that I've never gone through a big enough struggle to want to harm myself in that manner. And I feel like it would just be psychologically damaging as well as physically damaging to cut myself. Yes, I know for a lot of these wrestlers, it's just a part of the job, but I don't want a blade. But if color comes naturally, I'm okay with it. And I can agree that there was definitely spots where they clearly were blading. Like, there was a spot in the match where MJF crawled under the ring for no apparent reason. And then when he came out from under the ring, he was cut open. And they're showing replays of when, Punk elbowed him in the forehead. And they're like, well, that cut him. And it's like, maybe. But I've just seen it so many times where wrestlers will go under the ring and the camera will pan away and then will come back and suddenly there's a crimson mask on their face. And I get it, okay? I want there to be blood. I don't mind if there's blood, but I also, if these guys aren't willing to put themselves at risk like that, I'm not going to force them. I'm not going to stand here and be like, well, I want blood, so you need to blade. No, if these guys are willing to do it, fine, but I am happy to say that we're not in the age where you gotta give a little red to get a little green, as they used to say. But I don't think there was, I'm not gonna say there was too much blood in this match. This was a blood feud, period. These guys absolutely hated each other, so I think it was fitting. And I said I was going to talk about the storytelling with Wardlow. The final sequence of this match, I absolutely loved. MJF, bloody mess, calling for Wardlow to come help him. Wardlow comes out. He does that thing where he reaches in the coat pocket to get the Dynamite Diamond ring. And then he starts feeling around his pocket. And he's like, oh no. And MJF screaming at him. He's like, you had one job! One job! And then CM Punk clocks him. CM Punk lands on the ground, he looks up at Wardlow, and then Wardlow goes, oh, I put it in my other pocket, takes out the ring and just leaves it in front of CM Punk. So CM Punk puts on that ring, and he clocks MJF with it, which feels so good because MJF clocked so many people with it. And now CM Punk has finally defeated MJF. I'm wondering what's next for CM Punk. Maybe they're going to do Punk versus Hangman. Maybe they're going to have Punk potentially join Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson. I'll get to their match in a minute. Up next is a match that I was super pissed about. I actually had my neighbors complaining about the noise. So Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, defended the AEW Women's World Championship against Thunder Rosa. By the way, they got a new belt design, which I really appreciate. For this match, I was so pissed because Thunder Rosa won 3 different times and the ref didn't see it any time because of Rebel. Fucking kick them out. It doesn't take a goddamn rocket scientist to kick someone out if they're distracting you from doing your goddamn job, ref. God. But then, of course, when Britt Baker got the hold on Thunder Rosa and nailed her and whatnot, yeah, the ref was there. Ref was able to call the match. It was over. So now Thunder Rosa's set to be on Dynamite the day after this episode hits the air, face legit Layla Hirsch in a title eliminator, and whoever wins gets to go to St. Patrick's Day Slam. And I really hope Thunder Rosa wins so that we get that rematch of her street fight. It was actually an unsanctioned match, I think. Yeah, it was an unsanctioned match, but I wouldn't mind seeing her, Thunder Rosa, finally win the women's championship. But here's my complaint. If it does happen on TV, AEW, spoiler alert for the rest of this card, there was no title changes on a match card that you're asking people to pay $50 for. I'm not saying title changes make the money, But, like, you're giving away all these big, epic title changes on free TV. And these $50 match cards, nothing? Not a single title change? What gives? The TNT title wasn't even defended. Alright, the next match we got to see Jon Moxley defeat Bryan Danielson. It was an interesting finish where Bryan kind of had a submission on Moxley. But Moxley rolled over, Bryan's shoulders were on the mat, and Bryan refused to release the hold. So the referee counted three and the match was over. And both of these guys had drew blood beforehand. Again, more blood. Not nearly as much as Punk and MJF, but blood. And they kind of still started fighting. They started brawling. And who comes to break it up? William Regal. Regal is elite. And I am loving it. So now William Regal is elite. And it looks like Regal might be a manager for Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley's new tag team. I am percolating at the idea. We got to see Sting, Darby Allin, and Sammy Guevara defeat AHFO. That's represented by Andrade, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy. Some great spots in this tornado match. We got to see Sammy Guevara take out Isaiah with a Spanish fly through some tables. We got to see Sting, at 62 years old, put Andrade through three tables. What? Whole crowd's chanting, "You still got it." And then Darby Allin managed to defeat Matt Hardy to win the match for their team. And now we got Sammy Guevara set to defend the TNT Championship against Scorpio Sky. And I guess the big deal with that one is Scorpio Sky has gone a full... He's at that Dynamite, it will be day number 364. So if Scorpio wins, he gets the title, and he gets to say that he was undefeated for a full calendar year. If Sammy wins, then he breaks Scorpio Sky's undefeated streak, and he retains his championship, and the winner of that match will defend the championship against Wardlow at St. Patrick's Day Slam the following week. So that's all super exciting, and then we had another epic match, and I gotta tell you guys, fatigue hits. That the shows are known for going till midnight, if not later. The show ended actually relatively early at like 11:45-ish. But I was feeling the fatigue considering it starts at 7. So we're already breaking past 4 hours at this point when Hangman Adam Page defends the AEW World Heavyweight Championship against Adam Cole, baby. And it was a great match. There was a lot of storytelling. Red Dragon tried interfering. The Dark Order got involved. Adam Page kind of blew up on the Dark Order. He shoved Alex Reynolds. I'm interested to see where the storytelling goes from there. There was some words at the media scrum from Adam Page where he seemed very regretful of what happened. We got to see him on Being the Elite this early Monday, where as I'm recording this section of the podcast, where he got to where he kind of tried to apologize, but Alex walked off, and he told the rest of the Dark Order, "Hey, go after him. He's your buddy. You can take care of him." So it looks like Hangman might kind of be doing the lone cowboy thing again. And I'm interested to see who he's defending against next. He could defend against CM Punk. I'd like to see him defend against Brian Cage, because what the hell are AEW doing to Brian Cage lately? Who knows? He might defend against... I honestly don't know. I don't know who else he could defend against. Maybe never work a program with MJF, but I don't know. Coming off a loss, that doesn't seem right. MJF's probably going to work a program with Wardlow for it next. Yeah, I'm just looking at my list here, and I'm like, I don't know. They might just have to go for a while of him facing open challenges, and right, because he's only worked programs with... He worked a program with Kenny to get the title. He worked a program with Lance Archer to defend it. And he just finished a program with Adam Cole to defend it. They might continue the program. Might make a six-man tag. Hangman and the Young Bucks against Cole and Red Dragon. But you never know. I'm not sure where exactly we're going to go with Hangman. I don't want to say he's directionless. I just want to say that from an outside perspective, the direction doesn't seem clear. And that's not always a bad thing. Us fans, we may love to walk around acting like we know it all, but we love a surprise. So please, AEW is usually, I don't want to say they never disappointed. They more often than not satisfy our desires. So I'm confident that they will have an appropriate challenger for Hangman Adam Page. As for Adam Cole, it looks like there's some tension between him and the Young Bucks, considering the Young Bucks didn't go out there to support Adam, whereas Red Dragon did. So we're going to probably see that storyline continue. Otherwise, there's a lot of different places that this could go, and I'm super excited for it. All right, guys, so this has been my AEW Revolution post-revolution podcast, where we covered a lot of different topics. Next week, actually, I don't think I want to promote what we're doing in the weeks ahead. I mean, obviously, I can be generic. I can say, hey, right now I got a couple comic chatters planned. I am confirming we are going to have the comic chatter for Spider-Man No Way Home at the end of the month, March 29th, I want to say. I'm checking my notes as I'm speaking. Yes, March 29th. March 29th is going to be comic chatter, No Way Home. We got another comic chatter coming up. We got a horror hotel coming up. I'm already working on the schedule for April, so it's going to be fun. At that said, you guys can follow 73 Dream Studios on Instagram and Facebook to get all the latest updates. You guys, anyone that knows me personally can get updates from me. And you guys can also check out ClarkDion73 on Twitter so that you can get any wrestling updates. You can check out, or even my gaming stream, RDog20 on Twitch. You guys can check that out. I'm always making announcements at random spots. Just feeling the moment, going with the flow. Much love to everyone. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you again to our sponsor, Anchor. Please, and if you guys want to lend a hand, any dollar amount helps to save the children in Ukraine. And yeah, I'm terrible at outros, but much love to everyone out there. Please enjoy the rest of your week.